Welcome to Community First, a show where First Union organisers, activists and community leaders answer your questions and discuss the issues facing our communities. Community First is proudly brought to you by First Union, where we put workers first.
Good afternoon, New Zealand. Yes, welcome to the Community First radio program of First Union. And as always, we are back again on every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And today, our colleague Robin Wilson-Whiting, who was going to be present here today, unfortunately she could not, so that's why I'm back again. Like last week I was here, we will continue the topic of migrant workers exploitation happening in New Zealand, but also what has transpired or happened or any further news around migrants over the past week. We will also talk about that. And to continue the topic from last week, as we were discussing about how that Immigration New Zealand figures show that that migrants of Indian nationals, their visa, work visa, are being declined at a really high rate as compared to the overall, and so the decline rate is up 80% from the previous year for Indian national as compared to other nationals, which is 40%. We will talk more on that as well, but now before we go ahead and discuss more about that, I would like to let our listeners know that what are the topics we have lined up for today. And if you wish to make any comments or have any questions, please do join us and give us a call on 09-815-8100. Our studio number again is 09-815-8100. So we look forward to having your calls as well and to hear your comments. So to start with, we'll start off with the recent article on Radio New Zealand around the visa decline rates, and then after that, we will also talk about recent news where Minister of Immigration and Employment Industry Relations, Ian Galloway, he acknowledged that Immigration New Zealand's visa system lacks integrity, and he went on to say how the system is being abused, how lack of funding has played a part in growing migrant workers' exploitation, and how many cases are being put aside without being investigated. Obviously, this adds to the growing migrant workers' exploitation, and those such employers, their confidence grow as well, because when no action is being taken against such employers, they feel that they can continue doing that even at a higher scale. Then we will move on to the next topic, which was also in the news around one of the worker who was working for a contracting company and how she was being exploited, including along with her other colleague at one of the company. And we will also talk about one news article from Across the Ditch, where South Australia has introduced a new law under which the employers can be jailed for exploiting migrants, and if they're found to be exploiting migrants. So that is something which New Zealand should adopt as well. It is a good law, and we are actually supporting such a law where employers who are consciously and intentionally exploiting migrants and undermining their rights, then they should be penalized. So in the last topic, we will talk about a good news for one of the Indian family who went unconscious for a long time because of botulism, and the good news is the family has regained consciousness, and we will talk more about that towards the end. So now we're going to start our discussion. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to start with the topic of visa decline rate for Indian nationals, Indian migrants, how it is a big concern, and what has been said in the media and what has come out of this. So immigration advisors are saying that the crackdown on visa is underway, and obviously we have seen that as well. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the number of work visa applications being declined, that goes to show how immigration is tightening the visa approvals, and so the official figures show sharp increase in the number of work visa being rejected for Indian applicants in particular over the past last 4 months. Immigration New Zealand figures showed the percentage of post-study employer-assisted work visas that had been rejected, increased from 4% to 16%. In 16 months between January 2016 and 17. That is over 80% of increase. So from the previous year, Indian nationals are the worst affected in recent months. And we have seen that in the news. We at Indian Workers Association, we have also received numerous calls and messages where employees are seeking help. Unfortunately, because we are not qualified to give advice on immigration matters, so most of the time we end up have to guide them to visit or to talk to an immigration qualified and licensed immigration advisor. So, but we have seen a sharp increase of such migrants in such situations who are desperately seeking help because they believe that the visas are being declined for not so valid reasons. Indian requesters for visa who do not have current visas, they are being refused at record levels, you know. For some groups of migrants, it is a desperate landscape. Mukesh Kumar from Rotorua, who approached Indian Workers Association and shared his story. He also shared, then we passed on his contact details to Radio New Zealand, who wanted to interview a few migrants who are in such situations. And Mukesh Kumar from Rotorua is one of them. So he says that that his job as a dairy manager did not match his qualifications, despite having a graduate diploma in business. That's what the Immigration New Zealand told him, which is bizarre because he says that his employer has been very supportive. He's doing a manager's role and he's doing all the duties which he's required to do to qualify for the visa. So now he's appealing his case. But he says that he had several friends in similar situations, and we do definitely agree to that because, as I mentioned earlier, we have also received a number of complaints of such cases. So what he says in his words, they are playing with our feelings. They are playing with their money. When they need money, they called us to come and study here. Now they don't need us. They are just kicking us out. I guess these are the emotions coming out from those migrants who genuinely migrated for a better future. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all do. If we migrate to a different country, we do migrate because especially if we have a vision that we want to go for a long term, then we want to migrate for a good future and for good reasons. And those migrants on temporary visa who have spent a lot of money in selling their lands, taking debt, taking loans, you know, borrowing money from their friends and families, when they come here, they're in such a desperate situation that they have to not only pay their debt, but also have to earn money to pay their bills here and to settle here. Now, obviously, we have talked a number of times about such situations, and it is And it is true. And that is why we want the, to share this with the public, that so that they see the number of hurdles such migrants had to have to go through. And there are obviously a lot of employers who are waiting like wolves to just jump on those desperate migrants and just treat them like slaves. And we have seen many cases like that. So this 25-year-old we were talking about, Mukesh Kumar, he moved from India in 2015 to study in business in Wairaki Institute of Technology in Rotorua. So he found a part-time job in a local dairy, and when he completed his level 7 graduate diploma in applied business studies, he took over as the dairy manager's job. In July, his boss helped him apply for an employer-assisted work visa, but a dodgy immigration consultant failed to process the work paperwork in time, and it was rejected. Despite the new lawyer being confident that he would get one, his second application was denied too. Unable to work, Mr. Kumar said he was relying on the charity of his employer while he waits to hear what if he can stay in New Zealand. Now, obviously, employer genuinely needed the skill of their worker. The worker had been working for the employer for a long time. Employer obviously valued his work, valued his experience, and his loyalty, and then offered to assist him in his work visa and offered to sponsor him to get the employer-assisted work visa. And unfortunately, obviously, because the application was declined, he had to now spend close to $40,000 in applying for visa and paying for the lawyer's fees since 2015, and said his latest trouble had cost him $7,000. Immigration New Zealand said there had been no change in the way they assess visa application. In the last year, just over 5% of work visa applications of new nationals were declined. Rejection figures for the first 4 months of this year was not a long enough period to justify the trend. That's what the immigration spokesperson said. However, what we see is obviously there's a wide gap between what Immigration New Zealand is saying and what immigrants and their advisors are saying, and including obviously the migrant groups are saying as well, because we are seeing number of complaints rising again and again, day by day, against Immigration New Zealand's behavior towards the migrants. As migrant supporters, what we would like to say is that what we think is going to happen if the immigration is going to take this approach, it is only going to fuel the migrant workers' exploitation, which is already happening in our community, and it will only at the end, it will also impact New Zealand and its economy and its people. So it is important that those migrants who are in such situation, they should be supported. Actually, the employers are held accountable rather than making it difficult and more difficult for the migrant workers. It's like punishing the victim and actually rewarding the culprit. And we think that needs to be reversed. And in fact, the employers who are doing this, who are exporting migrants, they should be the one who should be they should be tied up rules for them, and or there should be higher penalties for them, so that can be stopped, and rather than making it harder for migrant workers who are already being exploited in the employment sector, and on top of that, in the immigration system is also not helping them out. I remember since last week when I posted this on our Indian Workers Association's Facebook page, we requested some of the migrants who are in such situations to contact us so that we can pass on their contact details to the another media who wanted to interview such migrants. And we were basically flooded with the messages. People were trying to tell these stories, how they not only the work visas, but also even the genuine partnership visas are being declined. In fact, one of the migrants said he got married last year to his wife, and marriage happened in front of his parents. Everything was normal. They provided all the evidence to support that. And one of the applicants is a permanent resident, another one is on temporary visa. And when he applied for a visa for his partner, and the immigration had declined his visa, and that's for a long 1 year relationship, and there were no history. That's what that migrant said. There's no history or records which shows that the relationship was not genuine, and he says his wife's visa is being declined, and now he's actually challenging that. And there have been a number of other stories which workers have shared. And what we have seen is that migrants in such situations are already very scared to come forward. Then why are we making it more difficult for them to actually stand up and want to speak out and say what is happening? Why Immigration New Zealand or the authorities are making it harder for them to talk about their rights and how they're being exploited, it just doesn't make sense. And now, obviously, immigration, since such stories are being published and being highlighted, Minister for Immigration, he Ian Lees-Galloway, he also made a statement. He mentioned that that the immigration visa system lacks integrity and was being abused. In one of the stories, stuff.co.nz, they published, it says that down in Wellington, there's a young Indian man managing a dairy. He also drives his employer and his wife around town, cooks dinner, cleans, and does other household chores, racking up 120 hours over 7 days a week. He is paid about $5 an hour for his efforts. Now, what is that? That is basically a modern day slavery. Nothing less than that. Where an employer trying to take advantage of a migrant because he's in a desperate situation, he's in a vulnerable situation because of his temporary visa status in New Zealand, and basically treating him like like an animal. In fact, worse than an animal. He basically, the worker doesn't only have to work in his dairy shop. He has to drive him around, do the shopping, and cook the dinner, cleaning his house, and doing other things. And then working close to 120 hours a week. That is beyond imagination, and being paid only $5 an hour. It is quite shocking considering the country like New Zealand. In a country like New Zealand, we see such situations. It is quite saddening and it is quite unfair. Such things are happening in our community, and we are basically just looking at it and can't do anything about it. Things can be done. Things can be highlighted. And we need to take a stand so that authorities are actually, convinced to make changes to actually address such things. And before we move on to a different topic, obviously, we will talk about in the next topic later on, we're going to be discussing. We will also be discussing the new rules which South Australia has, legislated, and we will talk about how that can be helpful. How that was one of the recommendation Indian Workers Association and UNIMIC, Union Network of Migrant, has made to Immigration Minister actually a couple of weeks ago. Now, so immigration lawyer Alistair McLeod, who has, who's quite supportive of migrant workers, who has also represented a lot of migrant workers in a desperate and vulnerable situation, he says they are basically a slave. it is far from uncommon. While the tourism boom is easily noticed, there has also been a huge increase in recent years in number of people arriving in New Zealand to study and work. And a byproduct of that has been a rapid jump in visa fraud, migrant exploitation and human trafficking. And we couldn't agree more. And that is exactly what we've been saying for a long time now. All we want is the public to understand that as well and join us so that, you know, through unity, we can actually take a stand and ask for some changes. In a recent interview with the newsroom, new immigration minister Ian Lees-Galloway said the visa system lacks integrity and was being abused. He was also shocked to read in a briefing that Immigration New Zealand was investigating only a sliver of the fraud and exploitation complaints it received. In 2015 and 16, Immigration New Zealand investigated only a third of cases that met its criteria, with that number plunging to just 18% in last financial year. So what that means is the rest of the 82% cases were not investigated. And the rest of those 82, in the rest of those 82 cases, those such employers' confidence grew, obviously must have grew double because, must have grown double because, you know, they believe that, you know, Immigration New Zealand is not going to do anything, you know, MBI is not going to do anything, nobody's going to do anything, and they can actually continue doing that. In fact, they take a step further and do it actually even in a worse way. Now, what the immigration minister also said that he blamed the issue on a lack of funding, but said the finding extra money would be difficult. Immigration lawyers spoken to were far from shocked when told about the low investigation rate. Auckland-based McLaurin said that there is a myriad of fraud cases schemes where employers who were experts at finding loopholes. I'm not in the slightest bit surprised. I'm surprised that it's that high, to be honest. When he directed people to Immigration New Zealand to report fraud and abuse, 9 out of 10 times they took a statement and never got back in touch. Students were most at risk, having spent tens of thousands of dollars to get to New Zealand. Having invested so much money, they were desperate to stay and employers took advantage. Some employers who have been accused say students have been lining up to work for 70 hours, 80 hours for free because they are desperate for residence visas, McLaurin said. This is absolutely true. And the cases are only growing. And I guess because employers are keep finding loopholes and taking advantage of the, you know, low resources available for MBIE, they just continue doing that without any fear in them. Again, I mentioned earlier before the start of our show, if you have any comments or if you want to have any questions, please do give us a ring on 09815-8100. That's 09815-8100. We are happy to actually hear from you, from the public and from our listeners, what they think about this and what the comments are. If they have any questions, I'm happy to answer those questions as well. So please, again, give us a ring on 09815-8100 if you have any comments. So, now, what we're most worried about is that if it is going to continue like this, which is already happening, it's going to not only going to add to the already growing migrant workers exploitation. What it's going to do is it's also going to drive wages for other Kiwis, other workers here as well. And what it will also do is it will also drive down unemployment rate as well. So it is important that we take a stand and that we, by being united. When I say being united, I'm not talking about only migrant workers. I think we all as workers, including migrant workers and local workers, you know, or the public community, should come together and put pressure on the government to introduce legislation which can stop such practices. And needs to be done as soon as possible before, in fact, it's already getting out of hand. It needs to be done, and needs to happen before it destroys the economy, destroys everyone's wages, and destroys the continue to destroy the rights, employment rights of workers, and also the human rights of workers as well. And to add to that, as I mentioned earlier, I'll give you this another example where one of the how contracting companies are taking advantage of migrants as well. In a recent article, a woman who worked 62 hours a week with no holiday or sick leave. She worked at once 34 days without a day off. 34 days. That's more than a month without a day off and 62 hours a week with no holiday or sick leave. This is an example of how some companies are able to ignore New Zealand employment law. Now, this is what the court said as well. Ms. Tulai worked for Solution Personnel, based in Auckland from 2009, a company contractor to LSG Sky Ships, one of the biggest in-flight catering services to airlines in New Zealand. In the world, actually. What is clear is that LSG relied heavily on workers sourced from agencies such as Solutions. That's what the court decision said. Ms. Tulai, an immigrant who worked up to 62.75 hours a week for her six years there, and once 34 days in a row. She and another immigrant to New Zealand, Kamlesh Prasad, were in a vulnerable position. They had very little appreciation of New Zealand employment law and the documentation they were asked to sign by Solutions. This is what the court said. The ruling said, LSG made little efforts to inquire what Solutions were paying its employees. Now, this is how these contracting companies, labor hire companies, are actually exploiting people. Exploiting workers, they just flout the law. Both Ms. Tulai and Mr. Prasad worked for a minimum wage or just above, with no holiday pay, sick leave, or KiwiSaver entitlement. They had to pay their own ACC cover. The union representing Ms. Tulai and Mr. Prasad, A2 Union, asked the court to declare workers' real employer to be declare workers' real employer is LSG Sky Chef instead of Solutions, even though it is a contracting company where Mr. Lai and Mr. Prasad came from. Union requested that LSG should be its employer, not the labor hire company, and the employment court agreed on that. This is a big decision, and this will help in determining next cases as well. This is a huge victory for labor hire workers at LSG. This is what the A2 Assistant National Secretary John Ryle said. It is also a victory for a growing number of workers who aren't directly employed by firms they work for and are deprived of their rights under New Zealand employment law. Mr. Lai and Mr. Prasad will be eligible for back pay. Mr. Rial said A2 was now calling for the airline catering industry to get rid of labor hire completely and for the national carrier Air New Zealand to take responsibility for this issue. Air New Zealand has been approached for comment. So they're just still waiting to hear from New Zealand, Air New Zealand. First Union, which represent labor hire workers as well, said there were thousands of workers who would benefit from this decision. because we have seen many, many cases where labor hire companies, employers rely heavily on labor hire companies to supply the workers to the companies, and those labor hire companies are basically hiring people on casual basis, call basis, and basically without any care for the rights of those workers they are employing, and which in fact, you know, these other big companies who are relying on labor hire companies are actually taking advantage of such workers as well. Well, these are some of the you know, examples how you know, migrants and immigrants to New Zealand are being exploited. We're going to take a short break, and before and when we come back, we will talk more about, you know, we're going to move to the next topic, as we mentioned earlier in news from across the ditch, Australia, about how South Australia introduced a new legislation which would lead to jail term for those employers who are exploiting migrants, and also good news for Indian families suffering from botulism. So we will be back after this nice song, and then discuss those topics. Yes, there was the song called Do You Know from Diljit Dosanjh. He is one of the Indian Punjabi singer in India. His name again is Diljit Dosanjh. And yeah, so this was a nice song from him. As we talked about before playing the song, that we will talk about our next topic now. So our next topic is that it's a news from across the ditch, and I'll talk a little bit more on that, how this was one. This is one of the recommendations which we also made to the Immigration Minister, Immigration and Employment Relations Minister Ian Lees-Galloway, and the news is that South Australia's Employment Minister Cam told State Parliament unsurplus operators exporting workers were able to quickly wrap up a company and start a new business when under scrutiny. He said in one case, a worker lost his finger and the company wrapped up its operations and authorities were not able to take any action against the company because it couldn't be contacted. That's what ABC reported. He said there were many such companies involved in the rampant exploitation of workers and tax evasion. New laws in South Australia mean all labour hire companies have to be licensed, and those found to be flouting the labour laws or evading the tax will face up to 3 years in jail. Workers' unions are calling for nationwide labour hire reforms now in Australia. In March last year, Senate committee released a scathing report documenting the abuse of temporary visa system for overseas workers. According to the Fair Work Ombudsman, workers on temporary visas are exploited at an alarming rate, particularly those from non-English language background. The legislation means the company operating in South Australia must be licensed now, and they will face tougher penalties, including jail time if they flout the law. And in one of the examples, they say Indian migrant Pavanjeet here worked in an Indian restaurant in Adelaide for over 2 years without receiving any pay in a devious cashback scheme. She even had to pay tens of thousands of dollars to her employer, who issued threats of deportation. In 2015, her appendix burst while she was at work, but she was not allowed to go to a hospital until she finished work, causing her multiple medical complications. Fairfax Media reported earlier this year. He would say, "Go to immigration, nothing is going to happen to me as I am a citizen of this country, but they will definitely deport you back to India." This is what, these are the words from Miss Hare, who was exploited. Now, in a bid to crack down on dodgy employers exporting migrant workers, South Australia has passed laws that would impose tougher penalties, including jail time for violation of the law. This is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this is one of the recommendations we also made to the Immigration Minister, because when employers, you know, participate in such activities, when they export migrant workers, in such cases, it is not only the breach of the employment law. In doing so, in some cases, they evade taxes because most cases they pay them under the table, pay them cash, and they take premiums for the jobs, obviously, which are which they don't pay any tax or don't declare, and extortion, you know, so physical abuse, threatening behavior, these things should be treated under, they should be taken very seriously, and obviously then such cases should be looked at under Crimes Act rather than only Employment Relations Act or Immigration Act, you know. That is only the time when such employers can be jailed and can be given harsher penalties, because if we only look at it as employment breach, most employers get away by taking advantage of the loopholes, like going into liquidation or selling the business or wrapping up everything, moving from the country, or starting a new business under a different name, you know. So it is important that the employers, not only the employers, but the person, the directors, are individually chased, and they are individually held accountable, and they are dealt under the Crimes Act, dealt with under the Crimes Act for tax fraud, for creating corruption, for extortion, for threatening behaviors, for abusing other human beings and abusing their human rights. And that these are the things which is going to act as a deterrent to stop this exploitation. And and there were a number of other recommendations we made, and one of the other big one we made was the, in fact, it was the first recommendation we made, and that is the visa should not be tied to a particular employer. Because as soon as the visa is tied up with the particular employer, this gives the employer the opportunity to tell the worker, you are my slave, you cannot go away until your visa is tied up with me. You cannot do anything. And that is, that seems to be exactly what is happening. In most cases where migrants are being exploited, either the employer is saying, you work under table, you have to pay me money before I issue you a visa, which is employer-assisted visa, which is tied up with the employer, or the cases where the visa is already tied up with the employer and the employer is just taking advantage of that and saying, give me this much, or work for free, or work 80 hours or 100 hours a week, or do my dishes, drive me to the town, do this, do that, and say otherwise they're going to deport them back to India, they're going to cancel their visa. In fact, we are looking into one of the cases now where the employer was saying that you give us the money because you got a 3-year visa from us. You give us the money, otherwise we're going to wrap up, we're going to close the business in 2 weeks and your visa will not be valid anymore. If the visa was not tied up with that particular employer in the beginning, that employee would have that 3-year visa still valid, and that employee did not have to worry about being abused. He did not have to worry about about taking action. He wouldn't have to be scared to raise his voice. He would simply come forward and say, this is what the employee is asking me to do, and this is not right. Or when it comes to those migrants who are already struggling, trying to pay off their debt, trying to earn money to pay their bills, and then such employers taking advantage of them, and the system is such that those migrants are put in such a vulnerable position, then there is no escape for those migrant workers. So yeah, this is one of the major recommendations we have made. And other recommendation we made is that offshore education agents to be the requirement for them to be licensed and to be regulated, because just if you have to apply for any other visa like work visa or residency or anything else from a foreign country, then you have to, and you're taking help, then it has to be through a licensed immigration advisor. But only the education visas, the study visas, are the one where you do not need the education agents or the advisors. They do not have any requirement to be licensed. In fact, in New Zealand, they have to be licensed, but not on overseas. So one of the recommendations we made is that they are to be licensed and regulated. The reason behind this was because those migrants who genuinely want to migrate for a better future, they are told different stories back in their home country about New Zealand or any other country. They're shown a lot of false hopes They are told that, you know, you will get those residency. There were a lot of people who went there living the luxury life and this and that, flash institutes and everything. By the time they, those migrants come here, and then they notice this two-bedroom, like, you know, unit which is operating as a PTE. And then obviously the jobs are not easy to find, and settling is not easy to easy to happen. So those things, by the time they realize this, it's too early, too late. And if those offshore education agents were regulated, and they were they found to be flouting the law like this, their license could have been cancelled, which means they're not eligible to send any students to New Zealand anymore. That would have tackled the situation. But the government doesn't want to do it. Why? Because they argue that it's very, very hard to regulate. But we know what the real reason is. The real reason is that if they regulate all the, those education agents, that means they will have less students. At the moment, anyone in any street can be an education agent, you know, overseas. Anyone who knows a little bit about the immigration, how to file an immigration application, they can be an education agent. And they can say anything they want to those desperate migrants and get away with it. In fact, we actually posted one of the story on our Indian Workers Association page where offshore education agent in India who can be seen in the video back in 2013-14 when there were a lot of study visas were being approved. They were saying New Zealand is a heaven on earth. It's you know, settling is very easy. The government has a system to make people permanent and everything. But in 2017, it's very difficult and for the visa applications to be approved. Now he's suddenly criticizing New Zealand and saying it's full of sheep. So the reputation of New Zealand is going down as well with this. It is important that we put pressure on the government to actually make those changes so that not only the reputation of New Zealand but also the integrity of the system is maintained. Again, as we mentioned earlier as well, please give us a call. If you have any comment or if you want to discuss something or you want to ask any question, please give us a call on 09-815-8100, 09-815-8100. We are happy to discuss this further with you. So we're going to play one song, and after this song, we will talk a little bit about the Indian family who suffered from botulism, and the good news for them. And then after that, we will wrap up our show. And we look forward to receive your calls in between if you, you want to give us a call. So here's the song from Jasmine Sandalus.
मार दी मेरी थोड़ी बहुत ਜਿੰਮ ਪੂਰੀ ਫਿੱਟ ਹਾਣੀਆਂ ਸ਼ਿਵ ਦੀ ਕਿਤਾਬ ਵਰਗਾ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੂਲੀ ਉੱਤੇ ਟੰਗੀ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਮੇਰਾ ਨਖਰਾ ਤੇ ਸਿੱਖੀ ਤਲਵਾਰ ਵਰਗਾ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੂਲੀ ਉੱਤੇ ਟੰਗੀ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਵੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਨਖਰਾ ਜੋ ਤਿੱਖੀ ਤਲਵਾਰ ਵਰਗਾ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੂਲੀ ਉੱਤੇ ਟੰਗੀ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਵੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਨਖਰਾ ਜੋ ਤਿੱਖੀ ਤਲਵਾਰ ਵਰਗਾ ਮੁੰਡਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੂਲੀ ਉੱਤੇ ਟੰਗੀ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਵੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਨਖਰਾ ਜੋ ਤਿੱਖੀ ਤਲਵਾਰ ਵਰਗਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਕੁੜਤੇ ਪਜਾਮੇ ਦੀਆਂ ਫੈਨ ਗੋਰੀਆਂ ਮਰੀ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਕਨੇ
sung by Jasmine Sandalus and Gary Sandhu. Now we are coming towards an end of our show. Before we go, we have our last topic to discuss, and that is actually good news. Partially good news, which is that I guess you might have seen it in the media as well. The one of the Indian family who was suffering from botulism, that family has regained consciousness, but the only bit of a bad news, I guess, is that they have lost their memory of last 1 month since they've been unconscious. The family had moved to New Zealand from India 5 years ago, and they lived in Tokorua for 3 years. And from last 2 years, they've been living in Putaruru. So now this family had three members, adult members of this family, They went unconscious for a long time. And if you are not aware of the story, what happened was Shibu Kuchman, 35, and his wife Subi Babu, 33, and his mother Alekuti Daniel, 62. They had taken freshly slaughtered wild boar curry for dinner more than 3 weeks ago at their Putaruru home. So what happened was that when they ate it, after some time of consuming the meal, Daniel collapsed, vomiting at the family's Putaruru home. Kuchman called an ambulance, but while on the phone, he too collapsed. He also went unconscious. Emergency services arrived to find that all three of them were on the floor and they were unresponsive and they were vomiting. In New Zealand, they say the last known case was of botulism was 2015. Only children who went to bed before they actually cooked the meal, they were the one who did not consume the meal, and they were the one who were safe from this, and they did not consume the meal, and they were not affected by this at all. But they are being currently now, they're being cared for by family of members or family members of the church. The Hamilton Mar Thoma congregation. So the news is that all three members of the Hamilton families, have regained consciousness, and the first Daniel woke up, and then after the coachman earlier this week, but it was still not until Friday last week that Babu opened her eyes. This is what was said in the media. Georgie Varghese, a friend of family who knew them from church, he says that he okay, now we're coming towards the end of our show, so